money. Let's talk money.
I don't have your money.
I know I'd be a lot happier with some extra cash.
Is this about money?
Obviously, this is all about money.
Oh, man, we got bills to pay, buddy.
With practical tips and a focus on scripture, let's talk money. With Dave and Reb. From More Than Enough. Real conversations about money for real people. Let's talk money.
Are you ready to talk money,
Reb? I'm ready to talk money. Oh, if they could only hear our conversations before we hit play or record or whatever.
Well, no, that's the fun part. I think they call those blooper reels those. Yeah, so we're not doing those.
Will is not doing blooper reels for us.
Yeah. We're not doing those. So welcome to the show. This is our 400th, and we didn't even write it. Oh, 407. So 407th show. And it is coming up to Christmas. So if you haven't figured that out, Christmas is really only like 2 weeks away now. So
less
than 2 weeks away. So just giving you the heads up, guys. Specifically, guys.
You haven't saved up for you haven't saved up for Christmas shopping.
There we go. Well, before we jump right in, I want to give a shout out to NotMine.ca, the sponsor of today's show. So thank you. We also have Ray in the studio with
Thanks
us.
Thanks for being here, Ray.
You are welcome.
You're not tired of us yet. It's the end of the year.
No, not at all.
And we have a totally fascinating show, I think, where, of course, we never quite know where it's going to go. So I want to jump in, but shout out to NotMine.ca. And check out their website. Really some just great content and just to really encourage you in your walk with money and with God and how that works. And again, we thank you for your partnership. We thank you for your wisdom and being here and all. It's just amazing. So anything else housekeeping before we jump in?
My book.
Reb's book. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So for those of you who don't know or maybe haven't heard, there is now the updated, expanded edition available of Reb's book, Cultivating Trust, Finding God's Hope and Freedom for Your Finances. I'm not even going to tell you what's changed, but there are some cool things that have changed. To Reb's own admission, so the author's own admission, it's better now. That's what she says to me quite a bit. It's just better now. So there you are. So if you haven't read the first edition, don't worry about it. The second edition.
Well,
the second
edition also has group discussion questions that
we've tell them.
Yeah. Because if you want to do it in a group study, it's actually my girlfriends. We're doing a study out in our area every couple weeks on a Sunday night, and they're like, well, I think we should do Reb's book next. Okay. So they might, and so I don't know if I'm going to show up for those book club study nights, but I'm just kidding. Because they have questions in the back now, and it can help. And for my friends who say to me, authors, really, it's a great idea when you lead a group to have those questions in a book. So that's why we did it. So there's more in there than just that, but you have no idea how thankful I am.
So the easiest place to find it is on Amazon. Yeah. You'll get it within a day or two if you're on Prime and all of that stuff. But that is really the easiest way. Just search Cultivating Trust, Finding God's Hope and Freedom for Your Finances on Amazon.
And Expanded Edition helps you get there faster if you put Expanded Edition.
But you know what? If I can give a plug, I just want to encourage you, if you're considering a Christmas gift for a loved one, I want to encourage you to consider that book because it is an invitation to go on a journey with the Lord. And it's not like a lot of other books in that sense that it's talking about budgets and numbers and all that kind of stuff. It's about the heart issues and allowing God to go into the deep places. And Reb has this great way of, in a conversational manner through the words on the book, to invite you into that journey. As she has journeyed, you will go on that journey as well. So can I encourage you to consider that book? It's a great one.
Thank you. That was very kind. Yeah, because it's been quite a year with redoing that book. So anyway, I'm just so happy and thankful. Anyway, so please, yes, go buy it.
Okay.
Here we go. But here's the discussion. So today, the last month, we talked about Luke 15 and the prodigal son and the story. And lots of us know that story. But I wanted to revisit the prodigal son number two.
We didn't really finish.
And I call him, and I call him prodigal son number two because he also needs to come home in his heart. Maybe he wasn't wasteful, but the older son has an attitude issue with the coming home of his brother. Mm-hmm. And I think I just said it to Dave like this. You're all going to be wondering, like, why are we talking about this so close to Christmas? It has nothing to do with Christmas, but it does have to do with our hearts about receiving those who are harder to love when they come home. And how are we receiving people? That's a bigger issue. But I see in our journey with More Than Enough that in my own heart, especially, I've had to really let go of my prejudices, my judgments, my assumptions about other people and how they do money. And I'm very concerned for us as God's people that we are putting up obstacles in our hearts and barriers towards others because we are assessing others from the outside appearance about their financial stewardship. And I constantly remind myself, actually, about the assumptions I'm jumping to. And that is what is behind why I want to talk about this, because I think it is a concerning issue. And it is a pretty serious one close to Christmas. I realize that. Mm-hmm. But we're not about light and fluffy here. And Jesus wasn't either, or he would never have told this story. So I was hoping, Dave, that you would give the context for the story that you really shared with me already today.
Sure. So again, we're really looking at Luke chapter 15. And there are three parables that Jesus speaks about in that chapter that are lost parables, if I can say that. So, you know, the context there is the Pharisees have been observing Jesus' teaching, but they've also been looking around at who the audience is. And they've taken note that these are people they don't want to hang out with. These are people that are sinners. These are people that are tax collectors. These are people that they have, the Pharisees, and have said that, you know, they're the non-religious people. They're not... And I put that in quotes, in air quotes here, you know, they're not pursuing God in, you know, we can put all kinds of language around that. But that's the context. And Jesus, they come to Jesus and somehow that gets communicated to Jesus. And the Pharisees seem to have this attitude of, you know, we've got the corner market on theology. And so we're going to sit here and we're going to, you know, we're listening to Jesus' teaching and we're the only ones who really can understand what Jesus is saying. And of course, we know that Jesus' message is no. Like, I came to share the good news of the gospel, to share what, in a sense, to live the way that God fully intended us to live here on earth. Mm-hmm. I'm going to demonstrate that, and that's for everybody. Now, Jesus did say, I came to the Jew first, so he is in Jerusalem and all of that. But so here's the context. Jesus is like, I am being wastefully extravagant in my demonstration of the heart of God. I'm trying to communicate that in all these different ways to anybody who will listen, right? Like, that's what Jesus is saying. And then you got the Pharisees who are saying, but it's ours. Like, you know, it's ours. And Jesus then...
Or they're upset, like the older brother...
Don't deserve to see that or to be part of that or to participate. We've been working in theology our whole lives from the beginning. We've been studying scripture. We've memorized it all. And these people probably don't even know who David is, you know, like,
Well, they might have known. They, if they were doing their job, they would have taught on that. And the people who were listening would have received it. But Ray, I was wondering if you could read that section of the scripture about when the older brother hears the party happening.
Well, I would start in verse 25. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked, what did it mean? And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and he pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you're always with me, and all that I have is yours. He was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is now found.
There's a lot there. I'm just listening to you read it. I'm like, yeah. Oh, man, he was angry. He wouldn't come out. And the father came and pleaded with him, and he still wouldn't go in. And the father then says, but you've had me with you all this time, and all that I have is yours. Do you have anything that's bringing up for you as you read it, or you've been thinking about it, Ray?
Well, I just reading again, you know, it's like the distaste and disdain, the judgment in there, in which we've been talking about here. You know, he devoured your livelihood with harlots. So, I mean, I'm thinking all the thoughts that must have gone into that thinking at that moment, which I think we all have it really, if we search our hearts, that kind of stuff, you know, suddenly he reappears. He has taken half of the livelihood of his dad. What are all the thoughts running through his mind coming back here? Oh, he's coming again to take more money and that kind of stuff. I hear I'm working and we've seen productivity or increase. You know, what does that mean for him personally? What is it, you know, that distaste sometimes we have for people who've really mucked it up in their journey. Yeah. And they're just starting to find their way. Somehow we think they need to behave right away. And yet they're in their own journey and recognizing we're all in our own journey. And the older brother doesn't see any of that kind of stuff.
You know, it's fascinating to me, just you didn't read that verse, but the beginning of the story is the father divided his wealth among the two sons. So in actual fact, the father doesn't have any right to the wealth. He's divided it one to one son, one to the other son. And yet the older son hasn't taken possession of it. He actually hasn't taken a possession. He still thinks it's his father's money and his father's. And the father has clearly demonstrated that, I gave both. And so it was all yours. Everything that I have is yours. And you've missed that. And I think for us, again, as we kind of bring that home into our own hearts, you know, in our relationship with God and reading through the scriptures and as Christ tells and talks and as the scripture tell us who God is, that generous part of God, that part that says, you know, the sun shines and things grow. Like, I've given those things to you as a gift, and it's for everybody to participate in. And so just seeing that we sometimes, like the older brother, I'm going to put myself in there. I sometimes, like the older brother, miss the fact that God's already given these things to us, and I don't sometimes take hold of it. So,
I just wonder if the brother really knew the heart of his father, also, like that older brother. I don't know. You know, here he's so generous in his forgiveness and his acceptance and his wealth. And he says, you have me with you and all that I have is yours. Like, you could have had the goat. You could have had a party. You could have, like, why didn't you? And I'm like, I was telling Dave on the drive in this morning, the parable that has stumped me, and this is just me confessing all my judgmental self. This more than enough journey has really uncovered my heart in all kinds of ways, but particularly as the older brother, because I have made assumptions about others, and I think, oh well, why, you know, they're in debt just because they're bad with their money. Well, sometimes actually it has nothing to do with them being bad with their money. Sometimes it's because they're widowed, orphaned, or they're the working poor, or they just don't have, they've had such trauma in their life they can't overcome to do what, you know, the strong European heritage in us would say is like, just buck up and, you know, just do it anyway. And sometimes that inner resilience isn't there for people, but I have made assumptions. And so the parable that has gotten me, is the one where the workers are in the field and he calls some at 8 a.m. and they come and start working. And then, oh, there's not enough workers. So they go, you know that parable. I don't even know what location it is at. But then at 5 o'clock, he gets more. And at the end of the day, when some have been working for an hour, some have been working for 10, they all get the same wage. And I don't know what you listeners are thinking as you're thinking about that story. And if you don't know it, go Google it, find it. But this is the same kind of thing. Father, you're being so generous that you're just giving away. You're just being extravagant. He is the prodigal father. He is the wastefully extravagant father. We call the son wasteful, but the father is wastefully extravagant. He is abundant. And do we understand that we are not in lack and scarcity, but we stand. It was the word God gave me in my quiet time this morning. You're in a broad place. You are standing in my provision and a broad place. You maybe aren't going to see the end from the beginning yet because it's not yours to see, but you can walk with me here. And I think that's what he was trying to tell his son. Please come in. Please celebrate with us because I'm giving it all to you. All of that. The celebration is yours too for your brother. But that hard-heartedness of his, how many days did he wake up mad because his brother wasn't there to do the work with them? You know, was he stewing day after day? You know, well, my brother could just take the inheritance and walk off, and I'm here at home and I have to do all the work. I mean, maybe I'm the only one. I don't know. I'm hoping that listeners identify with this because I think the attitude is there. I see it. I do see it in God's people that we make assumptions. So anyway, Ray, I've said enough.
Well, I mean, there's just a footnote that just the first line, the loveless attitude of the elder brother.
Oh.
And so I thought, oh, loveless. Yes. I mean, that really shows our heart sometimes because the Pharisees were complaining, it says at the beginning of this chapter, complaining about Jesus because he hung around with the sinners. Well, look around us. We have all kinds of sinners, people who, you know, you wonder where they're walking, do they even know who the Lord is and that kind of stuff. And sometimes I think, if I'm really honest, I'll keep them at arm's length. Like, I just don't want to spend too much time with them because they just take too much energy and too much focus and they might use me. I mean, we put up all those kind of barriers in our thinking, that kind of stuff. But yet it's the love of the Father that reaches to the younger son, even though he's really made a mess of things, but his love is the same for the elder brother, as you were talking about, the generous, lavish love of the Father. And so what about for us? Are we able, even like in this Christmas season, can we see the panhandler on the street as needing the Father's love, as dirty and the ones, you know, on King Edward Street here in Ottawa, looking at, you know, outside the shelters, high, you know, running across the street. Where's our heart in that? And do we see them and do we love them in that same sense? And I confess that I don't at times.
But even our own family members, family members are complicated. Families are complicated. And I say, have used this phrase, and there are people in my life, I say, Lord, I can love them 30 minutes at a time. I mean, you give me this mandate to be filled with love and I want to receive your love, but I don't want to be like the older brother who confines it, right? I don't want to say, well, this is what love looks like, so I can do this and this and this. Sometimes you say, you know what? Come into the party. Come in, even though it goes against every thought that you have right now. Come in and see how I want to love others. And I think I could go to the party 30. I would want to say to the older brother, because he's me, could you just do it for 30 minutes? Just go into the party for 30 minutes. Just watch and see. Just for 30 minutes. I'm like, yeah, I yeah, I could do that for 30 minutes. Yeah, I'm kind of hungry.
You're not an older brother, because I would dig in my heels and say, no, not on your life.
Really?
No way. No way. This, I mean, he is angry. The older brother's angry. He's like, no way, you're not getting me into there. But again, you know, don't want to digress too much. But
I mean, this is just honest. Like, we're trying to talk about this to get to the heart of what we're feeling towards others, especially in their finances and the assumptions we make about others as we see others.
100%. And so, you know, even speaking to what you just said, Ray, you know, we make judgments because somebody's living on the street. We make judgments because they have an addiction. And then we put them in a box. They're sinners, mm-hmm. right? And in the context or the words of the Pharisees. And really, Jesus is saying through the parable, you know, how did the father respond to the son coming back? There was no judgment. There was an anticipation, you know, and again, this is a really popular story. I'm sure you've heard 100 sermons on this. But, you know, the reality, the response of the father is one of, I know exactly what he did. Like the father, like he's not ignoring what he did, but he keeps the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is the son was dead. He was lost. And now I'm found.
But it's not about the money for him. It is not about the money.
It's not, you know? Not at all.
And it's for the brother it is. He has squandered on prostitutes. He has devoured how did your version say it? He's devoured your
livelihood.
He's devoured your livelihood. So he like, I can't help but think that the brother probably thinks there's not enough to go around. And he's devout, and the father's not even, he's thinking, just
doesn't matter. The important thing is
that he's come home.
That he's alive.
That
literally he's alive, right? You know, he was dead to the father. The father had no idea whether the son was actually alive or dead. And he's come back.
Yeah.
He's alive.
Anyway, what are your thoughts, Ray?
I keep thinking the love. I mean, the father in his heart of hearts was looking constantly watching for the younger son to come home. So that gives you a sense of anticipation. The father's always watching for us. Mm-hmm. Will we turn mm-hmm. home? Sometimes, you know, in this situation, I mean, he basically turned away from the Lord, so to speak, or from his father and all that he knew that was good and just blew it. And yet in the midst of that, in the lowest of lows, he comes and he turns his heart back to the father and says, I have a place there. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's like, Lord, you have a heart for every person I see. Mm-hmm. You see them in that depth of their heart. You know the journey they've been on. You know what traumas they've been, whatever has crushed their spirit and who they are. And they haven't walked in the revelation of that. But I'm still in process too. But yet I can't let my heart become hardened because they look so disdainful.
Yeah.
And so yet, Lord, in that place, I don't want to be the older brother. Mm-hmm. I want to see that they actually, which is something that comes to me often lately, is there's a place at the table for them also to have a seat. And they're part of my family.
And we're all on level ground together.
Yes.
We're not in a place of honor and they're not in a place of honor. In fact, sometimes they get the place of honor because they've come home and the rejection he probably went through from his friends that, you know, he was used and abused because he had money and he wasn't wise with his money. And he comes home with nothing in a time of famine. And the father isn't, you know, thinking about the money.
Pivoting, we got a few minutes left, but pivoting back to the older brother we're focusing today to go, you know, how many times haven't we, and I can speak for Reb and I think in the sense of say, you know, I've been working, and this is where the Pharisees were at. They were literally, you know, how many steps on the Sabbath and dividing their you know, tithing on everything and following the law to the T and going, I've done everything that the law demands of me. I've done everything, Father, when you asked me. Like, this is the older brother, and this is the Pharisees being reflected. And Jesus is saying, and you still haven't entered into the abundance. Everything I have is yours. You feel like you're you're missing it. You're missing it. And I think as believers, we again, in our current culture and back to really your heart, Reb, for today's show is let's open ourselves up to the story of others and leave judgment outside the door.
And it doesn't mean that the older brother was going to be in charge of everything or the older brother done all this work. We don't have the rest of the story. Mm-hmm. Like, how is he going to fit into the family plan now? He may not. He will still have to bear the repercussions of the decision to spend his part of the inheritance, right? There's still that, but we're looking at, I guess my question for folks is today, how are we receiving others? Mm-hmm. Really that is it with a loveless, hard heart? And if you sense some hardness in your heart, this isn't the place to go to those people. This is the places to go to the Father. Yeah, we may be justified, I say in air quotes, because people have made hard decisions that have hurt us or hurt the family wealth, or because they do happen, right? And then mm-hmm. we've made it about the money and not about. And then we get angry. And what do we do with that anger? And I think God was inviting him in and saying, come to the table and we'll deal with this anger together. Yeah, you and your brother are going to have to wrestle through some stuff. He's not dismissing. He's not dismissing what he said. He's just saying, I am with you. And I think at this time of year with Emmanuel, God with us, yeah, he's with us. He's with us in our hard-hearted judgment towards our brothers and sisters in Christ. And he's wanting us to come to the table and be willing to have our hearts softened. And that's a process and a journey. And you all know how you walk with God and for that to happen. So because I'm still in process. Around to not make it about the money.
You know, maybe we as we come into the end of the show, we can wrap it up really with, you know, this is the Christmas season. This is God with us, Emmanuel, Jesus coming in the flesh. And this is also just a reflection of John 3:16. For God so loved, to your point, Ray, he loved so much that he gave. He gave what? Yeah. He gave himself. He brought Christ and Christ with us so that we could enter into the lives of others and actually celebrate that as brothers and sisters.
That they've come home. Yeah.
Why don't you pray us out, Ray?
Well, Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this parable. Father, thank you that, Lord, your heart was searching for the younger son, but it was also searching for the older son. Mm-hmm. Inviting him into your presence. And so, Father, thank you, Lord, that you're doing that for each one of us. And Lord, that whether we're the older brother or the younger brother, Lord, you are searching us out and you're drawing us to come into that place, to have that revelation, as we just spoke about, Emmanuel with us, that you are with us. And so, Father, let there be an embracing of your love, a receiving and accepting of it in this Christmas season, Lord. And so, Father, we just say thank you for administering your love, for your great generosity, your mm-hmm. lavish love for each one of us. And so, Lord, we just say thank you for our time together in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Ray, for being here. Mm-hmm. You'll be back in 2025, we're hoping. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And thank you for joining us. And you'll be back before 2025. Let's just join us next week where we talk money.
Let's Talk Money is a division of More Than Enough Financial Fitness, where God is transforming hearts and bringing hope for today and freedom for tomorrow. For more information or to comment on today's show, please visit morethanenough.ca.